Today's devotion is titled Lessons from King Jehoshaphat and King Hezekiah. The alarming siege of Hamas upon Israel that took place on October 7, 2023 was a shock to the world. One serving Israeli officer described it as the 9/11 of America and Pearl Harbor all rolled into one. But Israel has experienced similar sieges in the centuries gone by. One outstanding siege took place when the Babylonians, under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar, besieged Jerusalem and took a large majority of the Israeli folk hostage, taking with them many of the valuable furnishings of the temple back to Babylon. It was another 70 years before the new leader Cyrus permitted the Israelites to return. What has alarmed the Israel people in this recent siege is that no one knew it was going to happen until Hamas started firing rockets in. In my lifetime, I have always known Israel to be a wise and alert, with God protecting them. So, we ask the question, why was this allowed to happen? I have been reading the accounts of the kings of the Bible that led Israel during and after King Solomon's right up to when Babylon besieged Israel. It was a tumultuous time for Israel. For some years Israel was divided, with Judah and Benjamin on one side and the rest of Israel under another king. At this time, evil Ahab was leader of Israel. But the kings of Judah experienced evil and good kings. In the book of 2 Chronicles, we often read this quote, when a new king came to power, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. These kings would follow the gods of the nations that formerly lived in Canaan, building idols to unknown gods, setting up Asherah poles, worshipping the sun and stars. On occasion, some of these kings sacrificed children to their gods. It was an evil time for the people of Israel. One particular king I would like to focus on this devotion is King Hezekiah. We read in 2 Chronicles 29:1, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. Notice his mother's name and who his father was. It was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. Zechariah had been a high priest and was a godly prophet. There is every possibility that Hezekiah's upbringing by his mother under the influence of Zechariah had a great influence on Hezekiah's godly reign. Today we live in a very secular society, which has little or no understanding of God. Without God and following his divine rules and guidance, Satan has free reign and will lure folk away from hearing the good news of Jesus. What a joy and encouragement it is when you meet young folk living godly lives, who have been brought up in a godly home, whose parents who show God's love and teach their children how to live with the love of God in their lives. So, what sort of leader was King Hezekiah? What did we read in 2 Chronicles 29:2? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. If we look in the previous chapter, 2 Chronicles 28:1-4, we read what king of the leaders King Ahaz was, Hezekiah's father. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and also made idols for worshipping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben Hinnom, and sacrificed his children in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. Therefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hands of the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him and took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. Today, Israel, under its democratic rule, has an opposing party, but presently has a godly prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, to lead. He recently addressed the nation of Israel. This is what he said in his speech. Only 70 years ago, the Jews were led to the slaughterhouse like sheep. 60 years ago, we had no country or army. Just a few hours after its creation, 7 Arab countries declared war on our small Jewish state. We're only 65 Jews against the rest of the Arab world, with any Israeli defense army. No powerful air force, no brave people. Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Egypt, Libya, Saudi Arabia, they all attacked us at the same time. The country that the United Nations gave us was 65% desert. The country was in nowhere. 35 years ago, we fought against the 3 most powerful armies in the Middle East, and we swept them away, yes, in 6 days. We have fought against various coalitions of Arab countries, which have modern armies and many Soviet weapons, and we have always defeated them. Then, in the closing words of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech, he said, and look at us, Bible nation, the slaves of Egypt, we're still here. And we speak the same language, before and now. The Arabs don't know it yet, but they will learn that there is a God, as long as we maintain our identity, and we will be here forever. So we apologize for not worrying, for not crying, for not being afraid. Things are good here. They could certainly be better. However, don't believe the media, because they don't say that parties are still happening, people are still living, people are still going out, people are still going out to see their friends. Yes, our morale is low because we mourn our dead, while others rejoice in the spilt blood. That's why we're going to win in the end. He, that is God, neither sleeps or will never sleep. The guardian of Israel, Hashem, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. For this speech to this entire community and to people around the world, they are part of our strength. Shalom. Note, Benjamin Netanyahu said God was the guardian of Israel. So we still need to ask the question, why was the nation of Israel so blind to what was about to take place? It is said Israel was warned, but they did not heed those warnings. Let us first read about one of King Hezekiah's predecessors, King Jehoshaphat. We read in 2 Chronicles 17, 1-6, Jehoshaphat, his son, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah and in the town of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David before him. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. But Then we read in 2 Chronicles 18:2-4, "Some years later he," that is Jehoshaphat, "went down to see Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him, and the people with him, and urged him to attack Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, 'Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?' Jehoshaphat replied, 'I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will join you in the war.' But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, 'First, seek the counsel of the Lord.'" Notice, Jehoshaphat sought the counsel of the Lord. How so vital. When we are facing difficult situations, we also seek the Lord and wait for him to answer. We read what kind of a person Ahab was. We read in 1 Kings 16, 13-31, "Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worshipped him." Why did Jehoshaphat want to invite Ahab to be party to another attack, Ramoth-Gilead? We are reminded as Christians in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" King Jehoshaphat was agreeing to an unholy, unequal yoke with an ungodly king. Were Israel and was King Hezekiah stepping out of line, building an unholy yoke with a nation that had not the same honest values, joining with King Ahab, bringing this war with Jehoshaphat to pass? In 2 Chronicles 18:28 to 34, we read how King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat went to war, resulting with King Ahab being killed in the battle. We do not know, but we can see that God in his sovereign purposes may have used Jehoshaphat to be the means of evil Ahab being killed. Let us turn our minds back to what is going on in Israel. It has not been published in the international media, but recently America has been talking with Saudi Arabia and Israel, seeking to create what has been termed an unholy alliance. Saudi Arabia has strong ties with Iran. If Iran was to attack Israel, Saudi Arabia could be used as a negotiating tool with Iran. Could it just be that because Israel has been seeking to yoke up with Saudi Arabia, this siege has been allowed to happen? Israel would be creating an alliance with a nation that does not seek the ways of righteousness. We understand that Saudi Arabia, since the Samis siege, have put these negotiations for this alliance plans to normalize ties with Israel on ice. As Israel escaped by being taken out of a very dangerous situation, almost allying itself to have unequal ties with Saudi Arabia. Notice what Benjamin Netanyahu said in the end of his speech. "Yes, our morale is low because we mourn our dead, while others rejoice in the spilled blood. That's why we're going to win in the end. He, God, never sleeps or will never sleep. The guardian of Israel, Hashem, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob." Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is a God-fearing man and seeks to follow God's laws and commands. When King Hezekiah was faced with a similar situation to what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was facing, he also encouraged his troops by saying in 2 Chronicles 32:7-8, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the army of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. We do not know as yet how this war will pan out. Will it spill out into other countries? Is it another step towards the end time events, when a one world government will develop? We do not know that as God's children, that there was a day when we invited Jesus into our hearts, becoming a member of God's family. Because of that divine relationship, we know that our Heavenly Father will be our protector. And just as King Hezekiah did, we know that God can and will bring us encouragement and reassurance through times of danger and trials. Let us remind ourselves of that security we can have, providing we keep close to our Heavenly Father. We read in Psalm 91, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find rescue. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guide you, guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." As we think of all these things that are going on at Israel this time, we can only heed the words of David in Psalm 122, 6 and 7. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadel." The Bible reminds us that Satan will again, in a day to come, entice the nations of the world to besiege Israel. After 7 years of great tribulation on earth, suddenly Jesus will appear on the Mount of Olives together with His church. This time, Jesus with His host of angels will appear a second time and defeat the evil armies of the world and lock up Satan for 1,000 years, as prophesied in Zechariah 14 and also in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20. On earth, during that 7 years, there will be what is termed the Great Tribulation, while we His children will spend the 7 years in heaven celebrating a great feast. Then with Jesus, join in that great deliverance when Jesus returns to earth. We read in Revelation 19:11-16, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven will follow him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword, and with it to strike down the nations. He will rule with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then the 1,000-year reign of Christ will begin. We read in Revelation 20, And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the keys of the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations any more, until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their forehead or their heads. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death hath no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from the prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them to battle. In number, they are like the sand of the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that was in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. But for us, before those great and terrible times happen, before God sets up his kingdom on earth, we, God's church, his bride, are waiting for Jesus to appear in the skies. Jesus is going to call us home at any moment. Are we ready? We read in Titus 2:13 and 14, we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Let us not find ourselves off guard when Jesus calls us up into heaven. He did warn us to be alert, Jesus said in Matthew 24:36-44. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the floods came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, another left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We do not know what the immediate future holds for each one of us. But let us be encouraged. Let us watch or listen to what the songwriter penned when he wrote, "I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, yet one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me."
Trust the